JG 1. Number 20B.
Okay, that's good. So we aren't going to let the human mind try to figure these things out. If we don't get a response back from being with our cultured consciousness in the categories, we're sure not going to try to get out there and read a book and squeeze out how we might hear mind in the world. We have no doubt with the intelligent universe and the information universe that thinks that, gosh, mind. And we have no doubt when they're talking about how systems evolve according to the optimistic arrow of time from order into greater and greater complexity. Oh, spirit. And we have no doubt when they talk about self-similar forms that are self-reproductive. Oh, soul. We have no problem with these things. When they talk about a self-organizing system. Oh, principle. This is easy business. That's natural then. That's how it should be. And that's all we need. At life, what might be a sense of that we're seeing that the sciences are talking about? Dave actually hit upon it. When you talked about information, Dave, how did you describe that information that was coming forth?
Well, it's progressing geometrically, just
right.
No limit. And also the universe is, what we see of the universe is, our concept is just increasing.
Yeah, it certainly is. So Dave says, okay, with that information, life, I see the exponential growth of life, that infinite multiplication of life that is spiraling us forward from a boundless basis. That information is just spiraling through that exponential growth. Okay? Yes, Jean? Sure. Great. Great. Good. That's wonderful. Oh, well, how nice. Jean sees that we've been talking about, and she's read about these nonlinear systems, as Paul Davies is talking about. Those are self-organizing, nonlinear. Always they talk about spontaneous systems that are nonlinear, meaning they aren't any longer bound just to the laws of cause and effect. The past determines the now. The past determines the now. The old linear laws of cause and effect of the machine world, which are fine. They have their place. Nobody's throwing them out the window. But they've been overformed, Jean says, by the vertical law of spontaneity, which we see as a higher law, don't we? Because the law of causality, we already saw, was on the level of Christian Science from the divine sense, and now the law of spontaneity is in absolute Christian Science, which means suddenly from divine origin. So these are non-linear laws. They're vertical laws having their impact on the horizontal. Good. Real good. All right, that's all we need. That's just enough. I think that's wonderful. Those are the key points, I would say, what I would feel too, of life. Okay, now we go on to truth. What seems to be knocking on the window all over the place in regards to truth? What would we say that we may see there that is coming forth? Pardon? All right. Oh, my goodness, yes. Gita saying the role of man. That's your being questioned. What's the future of man? The role of man. Man's consciousness to transform consciousness. How many years has this been going on? My goodness. Of course, since Greek times, but we sure know since the 60s. That's all they've been talking about. Get a higher consciousness. Come out of the establishment. Go towards the higher states of consciousness. And a higher state of consciousness is going to evolve a new man. What comes after man? What comes after the old form of consciousness going into the new form of consciousness expansion? That's what we always heard in the 60s, didn't we? Go and expand consciousness. Oh, my. That is right. So that is certainly truth, which we know as consciousness, seeing itself in the world. Do they talk about these things as being self-conscious? Do they ever talk even about nature as being conscious? Not just man?
Gaia.
Oh, all right, Gaia.
That could be life and more, just
Yeah, Gaia has a lot to do with the Earth and the breathing in and the breathing out, the life of Earth. But boy, they sure feel these things have consciousness. There's a lot of people that say there's a certain different, everything is expressing consciousness from a, just a different standpoint. Remember that big phase we went in through, the plants that think and plants that are aware? So go on in there and shine your lights and turn on the Mozart and talk to your plants. Because they were convinced, and the fellow who went with the lie detector and put it on this poor little plant, the plant probably said, "Ah, here he comes again with that probe." And he put the probe on the leaf of the plant, and he was convinced that that plant had consciousness and was aware of the music. And they was convinced that when he didn't play music, the plant was depressed. And if he put it into darkness, it really got depressed. And if he wasn't around it for a long time, the little lie detector was just morbid. But when the little plant came out into the light and he talked to it and played music, the little lie detector started bouncing up and down. So he said, this plant really is responding to all this.
And they got more beautiful.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So there are those out there who are convinced that you've got to talk to your plants because they have a different states and stages of consciousness. Yes. Well, the factuality of it, I think that relies a lot more on mind, that it is an intelligent information universe. But what were you trying to bring out there? Maybe the fact of it? Yeah, factuality certainly is a sense of truth. So,
Changing here?
Okay, what kind of change? If we stick, we have to here stick to our category, change, all right? The science that governs change is soul has to do with change. Soul has to do with the translation and retranslation because soul never changes, it changes. Wonderful sense of soul because that has to do with identity. That is always the same. But how would we, what is there about soul, truth, that has been really wonderful about that sense of truth that does let us talk about change, but change of what? What are some important points about truth that point changes that's been absolutely revolutionary to our time?
Form.
Great, Dick. And so what kind of form, now how, in relationship to what Chris said, what is changing form have to do with in truth? Do we see that forms change?
Sure.
That one thing can take on many forms, yet still remain the multi-dimensional forms, right, that go on. That's very good. So Chris was feeling change, but the change has to do within the category of truth. We have to stay true to the category. So what changes in truth is that multi-forms, that certainly that the law of transformation really helps us in truth because it shows that one thing, the infinite one, can take on many forms on a level, yet still remain the infinite one. It let us think in a trans-classical logic. And logic has to do with truth, which has to do with an inner logic. So we could say, oh, well, then logic is truth. We ought not only have a trans-classical laws of transformation having to do with forms, and dimensionalism, the dimensions of form that change, but also logic. Because it's not just the old Aristotelian logic that this value is real and this value is real, but because we have changing forms and logic, we can now understand Mrs. Eddy's textbook, which is a trans-classical form of logic. It allows us to say, oh, on another level, there's a dual conceptual logic that says this is real and this is a counterfeit, of which it's part of a one-valued logic of God. So the one-valued logic can take on many forms, yet still remain the one-valued logic, truth. And that's just changing.
Does that tie in with, she uses Christ's truth, but Christ is what, able to translate.
Yeah,
that.
Absolutely.
So that's the truth.
That's the laws of translatability, the Christ.
So that would be, she says Christ's truth.
Right, that's what she's meaning.
Yeah, right.
Dave just said, okay, and that's what we mean in Christian Science by Christ's truth, that Christ is the Savior and the truth which translates itself, that law of translatability that has to do with the Christ, which is the Savior, right? We would call it the Christ. Mm-hmm. Now, she had a Christ science, which was under the multivarious logic of translation and retranslation, the laws of transformation. Gosh, you see, isn't this wonderful to have this language to talk about what's going on today? It's just
maybe
great.
Also greater sense of looking at things from a holistic view.
All right, so we go on. Truth has to do with wholeness, but let's go on into love. So. But it's also true what Chris says. I don't want to say that holism certainly is part of truth. It has that integrated sense of love. But Chris says, all right, health means wholeness. And so if in truth we get the whole form, because that's what multivarious logic is bringing out, is then the whole form. With just the two-value logic, we didn't have the whole form of logic, did we? In talking about holism is only explained through the laws of self-regulation and what was it you just said there, Chris? We're talking about that sense of holism. Holism has to do with translatability, and so that's right. This all means that it's going on within the whole, that the whole can translate itself into many forms yet still remain the whole. So this is a holistic concept. It wouldn't be holistic if it wasn't having many forms that change according to the laws of transformation. Good. So we have lots of terms we had there. Gee, we already know the new language. Isn't that great? You can go out and speak very well on the street corner instead of using things like trees and swords and cows and shepherds and rocks and water and dragons and angels and horsemen and all these things. All right? Yes, Edith?
I'm particularly grateful for Dave's observation at the level of truth, the point of truth as the Christ truth, the laws of translatability, because building from consciousness through seeing the new forms and the new structures, that religious thought that the Messiah is the Christ, and when it comes, you have to talk to the religious mentality.
Yeah.
It comes clear after this remark that the Christ, the Savior, the Messiah is at the level of consciousness, his consciousness is within. So just for me,
yeah,
personally, to
good. Keep it impersonal.
Breaks, with that type of thought that the Messiah is to come.
Yeah.
Or the Christ is to come.
Right.
The full sense of the Messiah, a collective sense.
Yeah.
And the point of truth is also brings in the collective.
Good.
Because it's a collective consciousness.
Oh, that's. I think.
But you have to see Christ's truth. And not Christ person, Christ soul.
Good, good. Gita is saying that it takes away the personal sense from Jesus that, you know, there, in the early times they're always looking for the Messiah. Some accepted Jesus as the Messiah. Others didn't accept Jesus as the Messiah. So they're still looking for the Messiah. But Gita said this takes away that sense that they keep looking for the Messiah, because if Christ is now defined as these laws of translatability in the world, which are holistic, which are a Savior, really, that multivarious logic is the Christ. Because it is that which gives us many forms of consciousness, doesn't it? Many forms, that one thing can take on many forms, it still be the one thing, it's the Savior, because that one logic, that infinite one logic of science itself, that becomes a seven-valued logic of divine science, which becomes a dual conceptual logic of absolute Christian science that says, look at these things, it's just your standpoint of perception. Either you see the old woman or the young woman. It's all the way you look at things. So why not choose the perfect idea, the perfect concept? And that heals. Well, that's certainly an impersonal concept of the Messiah, and yet it certainly is the Messiah. But said in the language of today, and that's our state of consciousness. Huh? That determines our consciousness. that gives a holistic consciousness. Gives a holistic form, a holistic consciousness. And with that whole, well, that multivarious forms of logic is a savior, and that's our consciousness because we don't argue anymore. If we, man was always of that animal nature, because it always was arguing back and forth through friction, through debate. You know, the thesis and the antithesis and then the synthesis. And then that synthesis brought another thesis, which brought always up another argument of an antithesis that then brought a synthesis that became your thesis for another argument to come up against it, which, well, we know that debate that goes on and on with the two-valued logic because it's only a one dimension. It's a nothing but consciousness, and that one is right, you see. And the danger was it generalized that nothing but reductionistic consciousness. But with a trans-classical logic consciousness, all arguments come to an end because everything is valid within the system, where Mrs. Eddy says that spirit is at war with matter, then on another level says there is no matter. Well, that's wonderful because it's the savior, because that standpoint where there's only spirit going on comes and resolves the belief in matter. Huh? So it wars with the matter concept. That's the savior. That's the Christ. It has nothing to do with a personal man called Jesus. So in this age today, which is a universal sense, it takes it all away from, all right, it doesn't matter if they accept Jesus as a man, at least we accept the scientists all together, accept the universal sense that there is this multidimensional logic which is saving mankind from killing each other. Because they see there are many different sides of authority. And that we don't have to have the survival of the fittest or the law of the jungle or my party is always right. Bang, you know, you're out of here. It's the only way I can get my party to work is you go, you see. It allows for finally into love, the integration of everything. But it's universal and it impersonalizes it. And it's the only way it's going to be accepted. If one can argue forever whether Jesus was the Messiah or not. That doesn't matter in a universal period now. He was just a symbol, okay, if that symbols have moved on into this trans-classical logic, that will be accepted, it's impersonal, and that's how it's going to happen. Thank goodness, because it's all impersonal. It has nothing to do with religion anymore. It's taking it out of whether one is this religion or that religion or another religion. It's all impersonalizes the whole thing, and we're on just the basis of logic, huh? Which is totally impersonal. And so, therefore, it's a blessing. It really is a blessing. It's going to save. It is saving mankind and taking us out of I'm right and you're wrong type of business with just this one dimensional type of thinking, reductionistic, mechanistic, linear type of thinking. All right. So we look now at love, and without forcing it. My love is all over the place now. What do we see about it today in the world? What does love mean, first of all, as a capitalized term?
Integration.
Integration, okay, of all and everything. Hmm? The all in all. What else?
Love in circles.
Love in circles, okay. Love never loses sight of loveliness. That's nice. It encircles, okay, all-embracing, all-encircling, universal, Ellen says. That's very good, Ellen. Mm-hmm. Very good. And when it all embraces, we get a universal sense, don't we? So we get the talk about world sciences, world consciousness, global issues. Everything today is global, global this, global that, because of love, because it's all embracing. We can't talk any longer, can we, about just the United States politics alone or go into this isolationism. It's impossible in a global universe. It just won't work. You just can't. Our information has done it. There's just instant information of the whole globe, and we can't say we're going to ignore now what's going on in Germany or France or the EC, the European Community, or in India or China or in Russia or South America.
Antarctica or the North Pole or South Pole. Everything is all global because it's instant information. It's all here. Well, I mean, we just can't talk about isolationism. All right, that was good, Ellen. That made it's all embracing. So we have a world, global issues. What else can we say about love?
Also fulfills.
It fulfills. Okay, it fulfills in so far as what it has it been driven to fulfill? It fulfills all the seven. Okay.
The four.
Was that fulfillment known from the beginning? Did mind have in view a plan to fulfill from the beginning?
Mm-hmm.
And what do we call in cybernetic terminology today that plan that is known from the beginning?
No beginning and no ending.
Teleology. It's something that is teleological. It knows the end from the beginning. And Chris, you said?
Teleological.
A aim is known from the beginning. So such a system which is teleological, which already Aristotle, we know, was talking about goal-oriented systems that are driving towards a goal. We call them then goal-directed systems. Yes, good. That's a big point of love, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That it's goal-directed or teleology. Well, we have networking, ecology, integrating being, and also many ways the integrated sciences, no longer one sciences together. They're mixing the sciences, aren't they? They're taking these sciences and combining their terms, where we used to just go in and... Interdisciplinary sciences, right. When we went to school, even in the 60s, 70s at the university, we still could go in and study just biology or just physics or just this or just that. Today they're all interdisciplinary and they have new words to combine them all together. Yes. The integrative, the interface. Is that what you said? Interface, yes. Pardon?
Hyphenated terms,
right.
Would this new idea of man having to be put in the equation be related to this all-inclusive?
Yes. Gene says the scientists see today, as we were talking about, see how man now comes back into the system. That in the old mechanistic worlds of atoms being the component part of the universe, man was kind of thrown out of the system, because how does man identify himself with atoms in motion? I mean, it became kind of a cold machine world, a part world. But with the new move, as Mrs. Eddy said, that the elements will change, and they have, from the elements of matter and energy, electricity, into thought forces, and finally into values, those thought forces being values of humanity, compassion. Well, now man is back in the system because he can identify with values. And those values then make up his science. Because if the science now isn't based on values, it's not going to work. But science before didn't have values. It could create the atom bomb and blow us all up, and who cares? But a few of those scientists had values, and they struggled, didn't they, at the time that they were working with the atom bomb. Before they used it in World War II, some of those scientists left the project because they felt horrified at the monster that they had created, and they had a science of values, a science of love. They had a science of a good goal for their science. They wanted their science to be goal-directed towards a goal, towards a cause, towards an end. Their values were good, so they left the project. And the others kept on with it because they went back to the old mechanistic consciousness. Well, it's just a machine world. I've got my job to do. Science is just here to bring this thing out. And regardless what the end is, we've got to make the product. But that doesn't work. Today we're screaming when we see that a little butterfly shakes its wings and it affects our and can send the weather into chaos. We're talking about values, huh? That one person's scream affects all of us today. We don't like seeing in India all these starving people on television. We don't like all these things. You know, we begin to get out of that mechanistic part world and isolated, reductionistic, fragmented world, and when we feel touched by all these things, the ecology, the plight of the animals, the plight of the forest, the problems with the corporations, and all these self-interests, all these things begin to touch us now in a more universal way. Yes, so in underlining what Jean said, man has been put back into the system, and the scientists are very excited about that, because the structure of reality now has to reflect the structure of consciousness. Mm-hmm. And the structure of consciousness can become one with the structure of reality values. We're happy about that. So, okay, I think that's good. And with those points, I think we did an excellent job. I'm very pleased from what I can feel myself. Those would be the main points that I jotted down on my list for the synonymous terms, and that's all we need. I can remember in text interpretation again, in the summer schools when Max was here over the last 20 years, drilling us in the United States in text interpretation, saying when they went through the textbook, gaining what the ideas were that for mind, and what the ideas were for spirit and soul, principle, life, truth, and love. You know, one of the rules for text interpretation that he gives us in here is not to force the issue. Let's look for that. Turn to page 4 in the study aid. I'm just going to touch on one or two points here, but you see what Kapler has given us there as the rules for studying the seven synonymous terms that he just jotted down from what they were doing at the time of Dorley when they were going into analyzing the textbook for trying to find out what the ideas were for the various synonymous terms. When one listens, you see point 1, he says, the answer to the question, how is the synonym characterized in this sentence? Must always name a characteristic of the synonym. It must convey something about the nature of the synonym itself and not, for example, man's attitude towards it. So you see, when we look out in the world, we make sure that when we're text interpretation, that we're on that which has to do with the synonym itself and not man's attitude. For example, Mrs. Eddy shows in preface that she was a willing disciple at the heavenly gate waiting on the mind of Christ. Well, we've done that often in text interpretations. The students would give off all sorts of things for mind. Patience, willingness, order. Just because she said she was a willing disciple at the heavenly gate waiting on the mind of Christ. Well, that was all what she was doing. She was patient. She was willing. It didn't say mind was patient or willing. So in the universe, we want to be careful. And then here at point 6, it says, for the beginning lists only the very clear, conclusive findings. Do not list those findings which are questionable. You see, and that's what we want to say. We don't want to list those findings which are questionable. We just listen to those very, very big melodies being played. And also point 3, my eye catches it, we go back, it says, do not give your humanly subjective interpretation, for example, what the text says to me or how the text inspires me. The issue is, what is the text telling us about the synonym, not our personal view? So when you look out in the world, don't get over elaborate in trying to force these things into the category. Don't try to put our subjective interpretation. If it says it's the information universe, an intelligent universe that thinks, that's straight stuff. when it's talking about the order and complexity of in being about spirit, that's straight. We haven't tried to figure it out. When it talks about the self-regularity of self-reproduction systems, that's straight things. We didn't figure it out, did we? We didn't have to humanly try to think these things out. So we're only putting down at first our very clear findings. And then that last point, 13. When this study is first undertaken, the findings will be only an approximation.
See the page number.
It says then, each succeeding research effort will weed out inaccuracies, clarifying and refining our understanding of the meaning of each synonym as it is characterized in the textbook. Isn't that wonderful? And that's what we do. We realize this is just our first undertaking. It's only approximation that each succeeding polishing and polishing of our research efforts going to weed out our inaccuracies and clarify and refine the situation. And so we're just going to take it as an approximation.